Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see everyone here, and especially those on the webcast. So in our last Bible study, we began to see some of the areas where the Apostle Peter had preached. And in this study, we're going to look at some of the traditions which tell us where the remainder of the apostles preached. And just as a note to let you know ahead of time that the Bible doesn't actually say where all of the individuals went, but we will be looking at some historical secular sources. First, though, let's go back to where we were last time, 1 Peter 1 and in verse 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. That Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims in the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And this map is from worldhistory.org by Kalanick. And so this is Asia Minor in the first century. Oops. So you have Pontus, Bithynia, you have Cappadocia, and Asia. This was the area in northern Turkey where Peter went. Now remember who Peter's brother was. And that was Andrew. Let's look at John 1, verse 35. John 1 and verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, John the Baptist, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. It's about the 10th hour. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," meaning a stone. So here is where Andrew actually talked to Peter first. And while we're here, let's look at two other disciples in verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So they may have known one another in the same city. And then we see that Philip told Nathanael in verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said, "Well, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, said, "Before Philip called you, when I saw you were under the fig tree, I saw you." So this is a miracle that Jesus saw him, how he did that. We know, according to what the Bible says, he did see him somehow. Nathanael answered and said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." So we begin to see that these disciples, Peter and Andrew and Philip, Nathanael, who was also called Bartholomew, We're actually in these areas of Turkey, up in these areas here. Now, we see that I'm going to be reading from Caves Antiquities Apostolica, and that's a historical book that talks about where these apostles went. And so, referring to Andrew, he traveled first through Cappadocia, so same area where Peter was, Upper Galatia, right in here, so he went straight across, and Bithynia, up toward the north, which was the old name. All these areas were along the Black Sea. And the Black Sea is up in this area. Now, the author noted that Andrew went to, let me get my paper here to show this. The author noted that Andrew went to Trapezia. Now, Trapezia was up in Pontus, way over here. After Trapezia, a maritime city, where after many places he came to Nicaea, where he stayed for 2 years. Now, Nicaea is over in this area here. And then it said, he preached and worked miracles with great success. Then he went to Nicomedia. Nicomedia was up here. So these are close areas where he went to. And then it says he went to Calydron. Calydron was up in here. So these four areas, he spent quite a bit of time, about 2 years, according to this historic book, this historic book. Then it says he came to Sinope. Sinope was right on the shore, right between these cities here and Trapezia. And so he came right there on the southern shore of the Black Sea. And there it says he met with Peter, his brother, with whom he stayed a considerable time. And again, I'm saying these are historic issues, not so much found in the Bible, but it's kind of interesting where they ended up. Then it says he went to Asiatic Scythia or Samarita on the other side of the Black Sea. So we'll look at now the other map that we're going to be seeing. So here's the Black Sea, and here's Sinope, right here at Turkey, in Turkey, northern Turkey. So again, this is still from this Cave's book. The author is Cave, Mr. Cave. Anyway, we have now this map of Parthia, and this map comes from worldhistory.maps.com. He then stayed at Cherzon. Now, Cherzon is right across the Black Sea, right at the southern part of Bosporus. So he had to travel there across the sea. And it says that it was a populous city. It's now the Crimea. And he continued for some time, teaching and confirming them in the faith. So you have people all over here who were in the faith, and even up in this area who were of the faith. So that is apparently where Andrew spent most of his time, some of the time with Peter. Now, what about Philip and Nathanael? You see them often together in the Bible. Let's notice an interesting question that Philip asked Jesus, and then Jesus' response in John 14. John 14. John 14, and in verse 8. And we'll just read through this section. This is, of course, after they took the Passover service. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father in me? These words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me, or believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Something similar we saw when Jesus was talking to Andrew. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This was an answer to a question that Philip brought up. And, of course, Jesus is talking to all the disciples at that point. And Philip did preach powerfully. Again, this is from Cave's Antiquitas Apostolica. And this quote comes from page 119 to 120. That it is said that by many that he preached and planted Christianity in Scythia. Now, Scythia was in this area here with the Bosporus and Samaritan, all of this area. But it also went way over here on this side of the Caspian Sea and down along here within the Parthenian Empire. So you have a lot of area where Philip apparently traveled, according to this book. And actually you find that Andrew apparently went there as well in some of those areas, as we saw a little earlier. Now, Nathanael, or Bartholomew, according to the Britannica, and I'm quoting from the 4th century historian Eusebius, in the Ecclesiastical History, says that according to Pontius of Alexandria, and he was a historian in the 2nd century, according to him, he made a visit to India, where the Indo-Scythians were, this part of India, apparently, that Bartholomew or Nathanael went, and this fellow, Pontius of Alexandria, actually found a Hebrew copy of the book of Matthew there in that area, which the tradition has it was left there by Bartholomew. So traditionally, Bartholomew served as a missionary to Parthia, this whole area here, Persia, which is Iran, and Armenia. Armenia is up in here. And when you think about the area where these apostles went, and of course we saw last time that they were sent to the 12 tribes of Israel, or the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes, because there were a lot of Jewish people in this area as well, down in this area as we'll find. So from all the way up here, Samaritans, also included Scythia, of course, Pontus, Armenia, down into the Parthian Empire, down into Persia, and actually even over into India. And some of these people were descendants, even over here with Scythia going along the Caspian Sea, of the ancient Israelites, which I find interesting when you look at some of these traditions. Now, let's talk about Matthew. Let's look at Matthew 9, verse 9. Matthew 9 and verse 9. Matthew 9 and verse 9. Now Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the disciples saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, of course, that was said within the earshot of Matthew, who had just been called to be one of the disciples. Now, according to this historic book on pages 139 to 40, Matthew apparently went to Parthia in this area here. You wonder how many times they crossed over each other or met with one another. And it says he also went to Asia, Ethiopia, which was near Parthia, which was in this section here, kind of between India and Persia. So Thomas and Jude, because we'd already mentioned, Thomas later, we didn't really see. Remember, Thomas doubted Jesus Christ and had to see the handprints. And then Jude preached in Edessa in Armenia, according again to this book. So Edessa was right on this edge, right here. So they were in Armenia. So that was Thomas and Jude, or Thaddeus. And it seems Simon the Zealot was there, as well as James the son of Alphaeus, and even Matthias. So all the other disciples apparently, again, according to this historic book, were preaching in this area here. And so later, we find that Simon the Zealot went down to Mesopotamia, which was, of course, down in the area where Babylon was and this whole area. Remember, Peter said, "The brethren in Babylon greet you." And that was in the area just north of Persia, Mesopotamia. And that's where he met Jude, and they took their journey into Persia. They gained a considerable harvest to the Christian faith. That's on page 179. And Eusebius relates the story that Thomas dispatched Jude to Areopagus, the governor of Edessa in Armenia. So Thomas asked Jude or Thaddeus to go over here to Armenia to meet the governor. And that's where he apparently, again, I'm reading from these quotes from this book on page 185, that he healed diseases, he wrought miracles, expounded the doctrines of Christianity, converted Areopagus, the governor, and his people to the faith, according to page 185. And this is the same Jude in John 14, verse 22. Jude, or Judas, not Iscariot, John 14:22, said, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And his answer was, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So that was a response to Jude, and it's the same Jude that went over here in Armenia, again, according to this historic book. And he taught the governor there. Now, what's interesting also, so we see they're all up in this area and over in here. But what's also interesting is a lot of them ended up back over in this area. So we'll go to the next slide. And that's where the next slide is Turkey. my able assistant here. Thanks, Mr. Zolna, thanks. Okay, so here we are, as that, this is from a Bible Hub Bible Mapper. So Cave's history notes that Philip later came to Hierapolis. So Hierapolis is over here in this area. Now notice where this area is. He preached, where it says he preached that God alone, not the idols, was to be worshipped, as the great parent of the world who made man after his own glorious image, and when man fell or sinned, had sent his own son into the world to redeem him who died and rose from the dead, and shall come again at the last day to raise men up out of their graves. The success was that people were ashamed of their idolatry, and many broke loose from their chains of darkness and ran over to Christianity. Now, Cave's book also says this on pages 130 to 131. At Hierapolis in Phrygia, this area here, we find Nathanael in the company with Philip, instructing in that place the principles of Christianity and convincing them of the folly of their blind idolatries. So here you find eventually at least two of them, maybe more, ended up in this area, which was, again, as you see, this area here in the square is this whole area here, southeast Turkey, which is today. Now let's look at where the Apostle John went. Let's read this first in John 21. John 21 and in verse 21. John 21, verse 21. John 21, verse 21. This was after Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus told Peter what he was supposed to do in his life, and Peter seeing him, meaning John, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is it to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die, referring to John. But Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, that is, what is that to you? So it goes on to say, this is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are so many other things that Jesus did that if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So these are Jesus' words as he concluded his epistle, his letter, the gospel message. Now we have five books that were written by the Apostle John. Of course, this book, and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Let's look at Revelation 1. Revelation 1. And then look at verse 9. Revelation 1 and verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice and of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So, what's interesting is Patmos was on a small island quite a bit away from Ephesus, up in this area here. And this is where, on Patmos, he wrote his book. So you see Patmos, then you see the seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and we've taught that they were on a mail route, and you could see how the mail route went. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Notice what's next to Laodicea. Hierapolis and Colossae. It's another church. Paul wrote to the members in Colossae, and you read at the end of Colossae that the letter that was written to the Colossians was to be read also in Laodicea. So there's a lot of interaction here between what John wrote, because John was told, write and send these to the seven churches. Write it in a book and send it to the seven churches. And they were all in existence at that time. And you've got some of the 12 apostles there in that area as well, which again is somewhat fascinating. So again, this comes from Cave's book of the Antiquities of the Apostolica, page 93. Domitian, the emperor who banished John, was succeeded by Nerva, who rescinded by public decree those who had been banished. John left Patmos and came into Asia and spent most of his time in Ephesus. So after he was released from prison, he came and spent time in Ephesus. Again, that's according to the book, this historic book. But also, you find something else. Irenaeus, who was a historian that lived in the second century, wrote in his book titled Against Heresies about a man named Polycarp. Polycarp was not only instructed by the apostles, so here is a disciple of John, the apostle John, and the other apostles, and conversed with many of them who had seen Christ. Well, Polycarp was in this area, and we know that the other apostles were in this area. And there had to have been some interaction with all those seven churches and the members in that area. And again, according to this Irenaeus who wrote this, and this is in book three of his, he said that he was appointed bishop of the church in Smyrna. So apparently the apostles appointed Polycarp to take care of the Smyrna congregation up in that area. And it says that he always taught the things that he had learned from the apostles and which the church handed down, which alone are true. And I unquote that point. A footnote was also added that Polycarp suffered death in 187 A.D., in the reign of Marcus Aurelius, and he was 86 years old at that time, and that, according to this footnote, implies that he was contemporary with the Apostle John for almost 20 years. So he had been teaching him, the Apostle John. Of course, you know, the Bible ends at Revelation, so we don't know all of this information and exactly how this all is true. We'll just have to wait to see. But Eusebius further wrote that Polycarp held to his beliefs about the Passover. And this comes from the Ecclesiastical History, Book 5. When Polycarp was at Rome in the time of Anicetus, and they disagreed, for neither could Anicetus persuade Polycarp not to observe what he'd always observed with John, the disciple of our Lord, and the other apostles with whom he had associated. Neither could Polycarp persuade Anicetus to observe it, as he said that he ought to follow the customs of the presbyters who had preceded him. The point is there was a disagreement about Passover, but that is noted in this historical book that Polycarp said that he had to follow through and observe what he observed with John the disciple and the other apostles of Jesus Christ. In the same section of Eusebius' Ecclesiastical History, we read that Polycrates, he was a student of Polycarp. So this goes on a few more years later, that Polycrates held to the belief that the Passover should be kept on the 14th day. He said the bishops of Asia, led by Polycrates, decided to hold to the old custom handed down to them. He himself, in a letter which he addressed to Victor in the Church of Rome, set forth the following words. One wonders how the other bishops of some of these other areas must have all been together. They must have followed along with what John the Apostle, the other apostles, Polycarp, then Polycrates. And this is what he wrote. We observe the exact day, neither adding to nor taking away. For in Asia also great lights have fallen asleep. And by that time, many of the apostles had died. In fact, all of them. But they will rise again on the day of the Lord's coming, when he will bring glory from heaven and seek out all the saints. Among these are Philip. So Polycrates notes Philip, one of the 12 apostles who fell asleep in Hierapolis. We saw earlier from another historical source that Philip did come down to Hierapolis. And moreover, John, who was both a witness and a teacher, who reclined on the bosom of the Lord, and Polycarp in Smyrna, who was a bishop and a martyr. To me, that's kind of fascinating when you look at some historical records of where these apostles went. So in conclusion of this particular Bible study, let's look at Revelation 22, Revelation 22, and in verse 20. Revelation 22, verse 20. We know that the apostles were given the responsibility to continue to preach the gospel to Judea and Samaria and to the rest of the world. And they went, according to some even, some sources say some even preached in England and some in northern Africa. But some, again, that was, some of those were traditions. But notice Revelation 22, verse 20. He who testifies, this is John, these things says, I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So what we find here are the last written words of John the Apostle and the last written words of Jesus Christ. I am coming quickly. Now that was way back in the 90s. AD, and here we are, 2024, but that is still true. Jesus Christ will come eventually. The gospel was preached, and it will continue to be preached. So next time, then, in our Bible study of church history, we'll look at how the church developed and some of the names it was referred to, and we'll look at a lot of that in the book of Acts.